Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I don't know what kind of season you're in right now, but I want to know this, and I want you to know, God is near. He cares. He offers Himself to you in this most intimate place of your story, in the nooks and crannies of your story. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. And especially given the times we're in, the unrest we see, the crisis, the heartbreaking crisis in the Middle East, and you pile that on top of your own trials, it's easy to wonder, is God near? Is He there? Can I hear His voice in this season? And the thing is, you can. Today, we're talking specifically about God's presence and our invitation to enjoy a deep, abiding friendship with Him. My guest today writes this about a portion of her wilderness season. She said, "My purpose in that moment was to know God, not in theory, but in friendship. Jesus is the point. He is the reward. Knowing His presence is the purpose of the wilderness." Faith Yuri Cho joins me today to talk about her new book, Experiencing Friendship with God, How the Wilderness Draws Us to His Presence. And from one writer to another, I'll say she's a really brilliant writer, and this is amazing, amazing content. So I think you're going to love it. A couple of quick announcements before we hear from Faith. We've got another Reading the Bible Together initiative. This time we're going to explore five women in the lineage of Jesus. The title is Unexpected. You'll find all the resources on our website at myfaithradio.com. Another couple quick announcements. If you live in the Twin Cities area, I'll be speaking at the Sisterhood event at Emmanuel Christian Center on November 3rd. If you're in Pennsylvania, I'll be at Hershey Lodge November 9th through 11th with Hosanna Wong. Those are going to be two power-packed events. If you're in the area, I hope you can join us. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Faith Yuri Cho is an author. She's the CEO and founder of the Honor Summit, a nonprofit organization that centers Asian American woman in the mission of God. Oh, I love that. She's been a gospel preacher since she was 19 years old and now regularly speaks at events such as Q Ideas. She's got a Master's of Divinity. She's a frequent guest on TBN's Better Together and a contributor to Christine Kane's Propel Women. Alongside her husband, Pastor David Cho, Faith is co-founder and co-pastor of Mosaic Covenant Church in New Jersey. She and David have four children. Faith, I've heard of you before. It's so great to finally meet you. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to the conversation. Before we dig into the content of your beautiful book, by the way, I forgot to tell you, friends, we've got five copies to give away. And if you find yourselves, especially in a wilderness season, or you want to know more about the presence of God, you know that's a topic near and dear to my heart as well. Text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. I don't want to forget that because I want them to be able to read your book if they get the chance. But before we dig into the content, Faith, we always start every show, every day with the same question. What's God been talking to you about these days in a really personal, real-time way? What's He impressing upon your heart?
Oh, yeah. Right now, I've been meditating on Zechariah chapter 4, starting from verse 6 to 7, where he says, "So he answered me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by strength or by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of armies. What are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain, and he will bring out the capstone accompanied by shouts of grace, grace to it.'" This has spoken to me so much, just that statement, "What are you, great mountain?" I think it's just so easy to be self-reliant in the face of challenge, but God has no interest in my self-reliance, but He has interest in my dependence on His presence. And when I'm in that dependence, I look at every challenge and I say, "What are you, great mountain?" So that's what He's been speaking to me about these days.
That's exactly why I asked the question, Faith. That's so fantastic. And in the open of your book, Experiencing Friendship with God, you hit the ground running. Opening chapter, you bring us to a scene in your story where you're at the hospital and you're in a wilderness season of sorts. Take us to that place in your journey and tell us a little bit more about it.
Yes, it was a place where everything that affirmed my faith was not showing up, was not expressing itself. I believe there's a lot of reasons why people could commit to Christianity, whether it's for the growth, whether it's for the peace, the inspiration, or the community, and or even just the help, the miracles. And in that moment, nothing was affirming my faith. Here I was praying in desperation for my newborn child not to go into the NICU, to be healthy, to be in my arms. And man, did many people pray. But hour after hour, the opposite was happening. I felt like he was just getting worse. And when you're in that place where you don't understand why God is not answering your prayers in the way that you need it, in a way, it feels like abandonment. It feels like rejection. And you ask yourself, what is the point? And I feel like times of pain, when our faith feels fruitless, it makes us question, why are we here? What is the point of my devotion to the Lord? And I have come to realize that the purpose of my life is not just miracle signs and wonders. The purpose of my life is not just the help, the growth, the self-enhancement, you know, that all the journey or the journeys that may affirm our faith. And this is not to say that these do not come with our faith journey. They absolutely do. But the ultimate purpose to our faith is to know him intimately, authentically, and passionately. And when we do, then it offers significance to every season of our lives. When I'm in failure, I know his grace. When I'm in pain, I know his comfort. And so that was something that I was able to glean in my own wilderness journey, and also something that really sparked the message of this book.
You know, I loved, again, you're a very descriptive writer. Really love that and appreciate that. But here, you deliver a month early, and you're expecting, you still weren't worried about it because modern technology and lots of folks deliver a month, or lots of women deliver a month early, and it's okay. But it wasn't okay, and they whisked him away, and the news kept getting worse and worse. And you were thinking about, what about my faith? What about the promises of God? What about the prayers of all these people? Right. And you just kept, it kept, you know, it felt like your dream was drifting further and further from shore, and you were right. Angry with God. And the Lord whispered to your heart to open up a journal and thank him, and you absolutely didn't want to do that. But talk about what happened when you decided to do that.
Yes. I mean, it was not a proud moment for me. and I make that very clear in my writing. I wasn't doing it bravely. I wasn't doing it with great faith. I was just doing it just out of, well, what else would I do in this moment? And there wasn't any ounce of heroism in me taking out my journal, because even as I started to give thanks to the Lord, I was just filled with spite, to be honest. And this is just my honesty. Why aren't you answering my prayers, Lord? What have I not given you? I've given you my life. What did my son do? And I was just steeped in the mystery of it. And I used to think that giving thanks in these situations was just turning a blind eye to the reality of my situation. And what I realized, that what my thanksgiving was, it was choosing to look at God in the midst of my darkness. It was choosing to fix my eyes on Jesus amidst the mystery that I was going through in my faith journey. And the first 20 minutes, I did not feel anything. Nothing changed. And if anything, I had nurses keep coming into my room telling me that he was getting worse. But I remember around the 40-minute mark, when just my awareness of his nearness was awakened, my awareness of his closeness, his presence. And I was experiencing his presence, the Holy Spirit. I just knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that Jesus was with me. I didn't know what was going on with my son. I didn't know why this was happening. I didn't have any other answer but this assurance that he was with me. And I was so filled with peace. And I was like the Samaritan woman who, even though she came to the well for water after meeting Jesus, she left her jar of water behind at the well to just announce to the very people that she was probably ignoring and avoiding, come see a man who told me everything that I've ever done. I mean, she was just so filled with her purpose, because in that moment, even though she was trying to draw water, the purpose that she was designed for was to know Jesus. That's so right. Once she knew Jesus, she was able to leave the water. It was a secondary thought. And that was what was happening to me. My purpose, I mean, my purpose in the hospital, which was to have a child, a healthy child, but yet my ultimate purpose was to know him. And in that moment, although my child was not in my arms yet, I could honestly say that I was knowing him in such a deep, profound, and supernatural way, where all that was coming out of me at that point was just praise. I grieved until praise started to come out of me, you know, and I was doing it with the Lord.
You know, I did a Facebook Live this morning about just that, the whole idea that, you know, healing doesn't come in a straight line. It comes in layers. And so often we're pointing at something that we want from God. I want that. I want relief from that. I want an answer about that. I want that person to change or this person to come back. And the Lord gives you faith for something over here that seems completely unrelated. And you're like, but I want that. But you follow him where he puts faith in your heart, you know? And people always say, you need more faith, when Jesus says, you need a mustard seed. And if you've got my spirit in you, you've got faith. There's faith in you. Access it, activate it, stand on it. And it's so interesting, Faith, how often, you know, it seems like you're pointing straight ahead, like, I want to go that direction. He's pointing you left or right, going that direction. And you stand on the faith he gives you for whatever he's putting on your heart, and you follow that lead. It leads you to his presence. It leads you to encounter him. Like in your situation, that seems contrary to nature, to be having just given birth. Your body is feeling the effects of it. Your baby's not in your arms. None of that was as it should be. And in that place, I want you to give thanks. That's not a straight line. You know what I'm saying? But following him where he led you is the very thing that you did and how you encountered him here. I wish so bad. This is why scripture says, trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He was making a very crooked way straight for you. Isn't that just amazing when you think about it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think something that we discover in the wilderness is that Jesus is not magic. You know, I think sometimes, especially when we begin our faith journey, we wonder, well, how come when I say in Jesus' name or I pray something, that things just don't happen simply, obviously, and right away? Why does God make me wait? Why does God allow terrible things to happen? And especially in this day and age, I'm sure many Christians wonder, why did the pandemic have to happen? Why did I have to lose this person? Why did this person leave? And we don't understand. And that is the mystery of following Jesus on this side of heaven. But although Jesus is not magic, he is God. And the only way to know him authentically and intimately and passionately is we must have this childlike trust to be able to dance in the mystery.
Amen. Somebody got to text me an amen. As we get ready to go to break, somebody got to text me an amen. I'm going to read this from Faith's book. She says, "The wilderness of the soul is like traveling through a wasteland of discouragement. Very few, if any, will fully understand your journey, which is why loneliness becomes an unwelcome friend there. You become familiar with pain rather than progress, confusion rather than vision. Some say pain makes you stronger, but this is a senseless platitude for someone who's sapped of strength while wandering. You might be naturally sure of yourself, but in the wilderness, you're met with a destabilizing uncertainty." So that all seems like tough news, but for those who are in the wilderness, that's true, isn't it? It feels true. And maybe you're in that kind of season. When we come back, we're going to talk about the more divine purpose in the wilderness, whether you're in the wilderness or not. You know, some say you're either walking through it, coming out of it, or going in. And so how do we navigate with hearts that know God in a deep way, with an expectancy that he's going to meet us in this place? I'm talking to Faith Yericho today. Her beautiful book is Experiencing Friendship with God, How the Wilderness Draws Us to His Presence. And you know how much, friends, I love the topic of presence. So more with Faith in just a moment. Hey friends, this is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live, and I just want to remind you that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So if you are a podcast listener who happens to be a pastor, hear me now. I want to say with all my heart, thank you for all that you endure, all that you absorb that nobody ever sees, all that you steward behind the scenes that God sees. With all my heart, I want to say thank you. We at Faith Radio, we bless you. We honor you for your sacrifice. And I pray in the days ahead, God gives you glimpses of glory and fruit from your labor, just enough to encourage you onward, to know that a brighter day awaits you. Keep on keeping on, friend, because you're making a difference. And if you're a podcast listener who has a pastor, which I'm pretty sure that's true, would you honor your pastor? Send them a note. Send them out to dinner. Give them a gift card. Think of a creative way to say, I see you, I honor you, and I bless you for all the hard work you do, most of which I never see, but God does. Thank you, friends, for listening. We love serving you all together, connecting faith to life on Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, talking to Faith Erie Cho today. Her beautiful book is titled Experiencing Friendship with God, How the Wilderness Draws Us to His Presence. And oftentimes I open the show asking you a question that I'd like you to answer. And I didn't do that, but I'm going to do it now, if as many as you feel so led to share. But how would you define or describe the season you find yourself in? Are you in a wilderness season? Or maybe you're in a season of flourishing and fruitfulness, or a season of waiting where it doesn't feel like a wilderness. You have an expectancy. You got a sense it's coming soon, but you're in a season of waiting. Sometimes waiting very much feels like a wilderness. But if you have some descriptors on the season you're in, I'd love for you to share them. Text 877-933-2484. And again, I've got a handful of copies of Faith's book to give away in a separate text. Same number, but you send the word, you text in the word book, and it'll kick back a link to you. Here's the number again, 877-933-2484. Got a lot of amens that came in, Faith. People are very much resonating with what you were saying. But let's talk about wilderness. Even though the show today is about God's presence and friendship with God, wilderness is so often the place where we lose sight of God, yet we have an invitation to experience Him. So talk about in your own wilderness journey. I don't know how long it lasted, but how and when did you see your first glimmers of hope in that place?
Oh, yes. I mean, when people ask me about my wilderness journey, my response is often, which one?
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Which wilderness journey? Oh, my goodness. And I would say the most recent one was 2020 and on, when my husband and I, we were planting a church during a pandemic.
Oh, my.
Yes. And there were points to that journey when, I mean, we were a week away from being homeless. I mean, we lost everything at one point. I remember one point we had $30 left in our account. And we had to choose between either gas or groceries.
Wow.
I mean, there was just so many elements to that. And on top of that, having four children on Zoom and just all the duress of having a global pandemic happening around us. In those moments, I would say when you go through deep pain reveals what you're really living for. And in that moment, in that season, really, I was realizing how much I was living to protect our family, living to be fruitful in ministry, living to keep things all together. And these are not bad desires, but like I said, the ultimate desire, the ultimate purpose to our lives is meant to be to befriend the presence of God. And I remember there was a moment when I think it was about a year mark when we couldn't get more than 10 people into our living room, which is not amazing news when you're trying to build a church community in a time when you're supposed to gather people.
Are your kids. So you think about that. You're taking up half your kids are half the church right there. So,
yes, it was really tough. It was really tough. And when you're not legally allowed to gather, but yet you have to gather, I mean, this was all kinds of elements of confusion, difficulty in that. And I remember there was this one time when I was going before the Lord and saying, either you help me or help me to let go of this, because I can't do this anymore. This wilderness is just too hard. I don't know what war I'm supposed to be fighting because I'm losing. I don't know if this is a test because I'm failing. I don't understand. And, you know, there is that element of confusion in the wilderness. And I remember the Lord just reminding me of Philippians and Apostle Paul's confession. I consider everything garbage compared to knowing Jesus Christ. And I realized, man, is the ultimate purpose of my life, is it really to know him? Or is it to get out of this mess? Is it to know him? Or is it to try to change the situation? And when I went back to that ultimate purpose of mine, to befriending the Holy Spirit, there were days when events were not as successful as we would want them to be. But yet I would say to the Lord, but it is still an amazing day because I know you better. I know you deeper. And you know what? The miracles did eventually start to come. The fruitfulness eventually did start to come. I mean, we're no longer in pre-launch phase. We've launched our church in February 2022, but the gift, the reward of this whole experience was just realigning myself to my ultimate purpose. And the wilderness, the gift of the wilderness really is, it reveals what you're really living for, what of the promised land that you're actually living for. And I think people think that the purpose of the wilderness is the promised land, where actually the purpose of the wilderness was the presence of God. It was to befriend the presence of God.
Boy, that's so good. I was going to talk about this later, but I want to jump to it right now. I want to talk about the idea of a kind of a transactional approach to our walk with God. We've talked about this plenty of times on the show before, but you also address it, this whole idea of kind of a quid pro quo relationship with God. And how does somebody, I'm not looking for this quote because I'm moving out of order of my notes here. Here it is. You know, when we engage with God only based on what we can get from him, and you wrote it this way, it is possible to find ourselves choosing the promised land over the presence, the blessings that come with God rather than God himself. In fact, would it be unreasonable to think that sometimes we draw near to our Father only because we want to get to the promised land? So talk about the difference between kind of a quid pro quo relationship and a deep abiding friendship with God. And how does someone who's listening today move from transactional faith to actually enjoying the presence of God?
Yes. I think sometimes Christianity could get a bad rap, especially in the West and Western cultures. But there are many perks to Christianity. The promised lands, if you will, that come with following Yahweh, following the presence of God. I mean, sometimes people go to church because they get spiritual community. Sometimes they pray because they feel more inspired, they feel stronger. Or some people, they adhere to religion to be just a better person and to feel like they're becoming a better person. And now when these things don't happen, we go through a wilderness season, and in a way it becomes reason to walk away from Jesus. And we saw that during the pandemic. There's so many people that walked away from the church, and sometimes even walking away from Jesus, not always the same, but sometimes parallel. And a lot of it's because we have based our faith journey on the shadows of his presence, and we've settled with the substitutes of his presence. And when those substitutes fail us, we find that reason enough to walk away from Jesus himself. And so sometimes the gift in that, although that is difficult, it reminds us, hey, maybe I wasn't supposed to be fueled by just my pastor's sermons. Maybe I wasn't supposed to be fueled by just attending conferences. Maybe I wasn't supposed to be fueled by getting just answers to prayer, but maybe I'm supposed to be fueled by hearing his voice and following it. Maybe it's that direct relationship with Jesus that I was made for and not anything else. I think sometimes people could think that, oh, just because I listened to a podcast, I spent time with God. Or just because I read the books about Jesus, that I've actually talked to Jesus. That it's the same as reading the Bible, although it's not necessarily the same.
And sometimes when we settle with the substitutes, we lack a spiritual vitality and we wonder why. And we think it's because, oh, it's because God does not work. Following him does not work. When actually the reason why we lack that spiritual vitality is because we've settled for the secondary things.
Even when you think of the psalmist, you know, David understood and encountered God, and I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, you know, than a big deal anywhere else. You know, a single day in your presence is better than 1,000 days anywhere else. There is something in his presence, the fullness of joy is found. Ephesians, to know this love is to be filled with the fullness of God. I think once you've had tastes of God's presence in the wilderness, you're forever changed, because you realize, oh, this isn't about me getting what I want. This isn't about relief, even though when you're in a hard time, relief is a great gift. I will say that firsthand. But it isn't about that. It's about redemption. You know, we want just a break. God wants a breakthrough. And if we somehow could see ourselves as the heirs we are, even in the wilderness season, and to say, you know, that his presence is my greatest good, suddenly all that other stuff loses its power, doesn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think the wilderness, it reminds us of the fact that sometimes God himself, and I say sometimes because sometimes we don't feel this way, but God himself is sufficient. And when I went through the 2020 season with church planting, I mean, I had to really check my theology. Here I am on Sunday saying, oh, God is good all the time, but what if your situation doesn't look good? Do I really believe that God is good? You know, what if I'm not getting the breakthrough? What if I'm not walking in my destiny? Then who am I? What am I? You know, and it's interesting because preachers love preaching about the wilderness seasons. It's what we always go to because it's one of the most romantic, miraculous seasons of Israelite history. And yet we never want to be in it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's romantic and it's miraculous because all the Israelites had in the wilderness was Yahweh. It was the presence of God. And so that's the gift of our wilderness seasons. We may be wondering, why isn't this person coming back into my life? Why did the lab results not come back favorable for me? Why is my my bank account not changing? Why is my status not changing? Why did I not find the one romantic partner that I've been waiting for? And all these wonderful things can be blessings that God offers us. This could be the promised land. And let us not forget, the Lord wanted to give the promised land to the Israelites, but the point of walking through the wilderness was to see him face to face and to walk as a friend of God. The parting of the sea, the quail, the water from the rock, the manna from the sky, that testimony of saying, I know him. He is my God. That is what we get from our wilderness seasons.
This listener texted in and said, why settle for substitutes when we can have the substance of Christ? And you write this in your book, Experiencing Friendship with God. Indeed, God is everywhere. The galaxies above and the waves below. As time and space exist, so does God. But this boundless creator also desires to be present with his people. The presence of God can be encountered and known by humankind. The God who is holy and infinite chooses to be relationally accessible to his creation. Isn't that amazing? Hear that again. The God who's holy and infinite chooses to be relationally accessible to his creation. Talking to Faith Yuri Cho today, and her book is titled Experiencing Friendship with God, How the Wilderness Draws Us to His Presence. If you've got questions, go on and text them in. Otherwise, tell us how we can pray for you. And if you want in on the drawing in its own text, just a single text with the word book in it, text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Faith Yuri Cho, who's written a beautiful book titled Experiencing Friendship with God, How the Wilderness Draws Us to His Presence. And we're not only just talking about the wilderness, we're talking about the presence of God. But as Faith has written and has said, so often that's the opportunity, that's the place where we can really encounter God when we really search our hearts, when we're willing to hear God on His terms, not our own. And one of the things that happens in those wilderness places is the waiting season. And I would submit that most every Christian is in a waiting season of some sort, where there's part of your story that's not as you wish it was, and that you are praying for a breakthrough of some kind. And Faith writes this, "Seasons of waiting can feel like rejection from God. The longer we wait for God to reveal Himself or move on our behalf, the more it feels as though He doesn't care about our urgent pleas. Although the Holy Spirit is the helper, waiting for Him to do something or say something can make even the most dedicated Christian feel helpless. The silence after a great cry to heaven tempts us to question His goodness, because seasons of waiting are void of control and clarity. They can leave us feeling vulnerable. Friend of God, He is with you in the waiting. Not only is He with you, but His goodness is always also actively at work as you wait." Speak to that a little bit more, especially to the person in a waiting season right now, because you're right, we're especially vulnerable of misinterpreting God's silences, His delays, and the enemy tries to get us to accuse God of things that the devil himself is guilty of. What have you learned about wisely navigating those waiting seasons?
Absolutely. I think for those that feel as though they are waiting, one thing that we never have to wait for is for God to be good. I feel as though when our eyes are so fixed on the promised land, it could feel as if there is no activity in our lives. If the Israelites measured their lives, the quality of their lives even, on whether they got into the promised land, then every one of them in the Old Testament must have felt like their lives were complete failures. And yet, all the while, manna was showing up every single day. And all the while, they were winning their wars. All the while, they were provided for. They were protected. I feel like when our eyes are so fixed on the one thing that could prove that God is with us, we miss out on everything else. And you may be waiting for that test result. You may be waiting for that one change in your life, that one promotion, that one job, for your life conditions to change. I mean, you may be waiting for that one thing. But if you fix your eyes around the other things, and this is where gratitude does come into play, because gratitude is choosing to recognize the fingerprints of God all over our lives, then we could free ourselves to recognize His nearness, to feel and experience the presence of God all over our lives. And that's what happened to me in the NICU after my son went into that health crisis. I mean, I was looking for that one thing to prove that God was with me, and I was waiting for it. Yet when I chose to give thanks, I freed myself to recognize, wait, God is good and He is doing things, and I could see Him doing things right now. It may not be that one thing that I want, but He surely is doing things, and we could always recognize that God is good, and that's not something that we need to be waiting for.
Boy, that's so good. And friends, forgive me for bringing this up, because I've brought this passage up umpteen times, but it feels like someone needs to hear it today. But that Jeremiah 17, verses 6 and 7. Remember in 6, verse 6, especially in the New King James translation, which is closest to the original in this particular verse, it talks about, my paraphrase, cursed is the one who puts their hope in man, and basically man-made solutions. They're like a stunted shrub in the desert. And what it says in the New King James that I measured against the original translation, you don't see in the newer translations, but it's such an important line. It says, they don't see goodness when it comes. But then the next verse is, blessed are those who've made the Lord their hope and their confidence. Go ahead and read it, because it goes on to talk about how the elements don't bother you, the drought and the heat. You don't fear those things because you are tapped into the streams of living water. And Faith, the reason I bring that up as with what you're saying is, you know, when you hear people talk about, I've been waiting 60 years and I've not seen one thing from God, I sometimes think when you're waiting that long with no break, I feel like it might be because you're zeroing in on an outcome. You know, that, and you know, because like we were talking about at the beginning, it seemed contrary to nature for you to have your body reeling from the effects of delivering a baby a month early, your heart reeling because they weren't letting you hold your baby because they rushed him off to the NICU, and where you're wondering, where are you, God? I serve you. I've given my life. And he says, thank me here. That seems contrary to nature. And I feel like sometimes when we're so focused, when our faith is in the outcome, we also won't see goodness when it comes. So I'd love for you just to speak to that, because if we can convey anything, it's just not a straight line through the wilderness, but God is there in the midst of it. So we have to be willing to hear him on his terms, because his ways are higher than ours. So anything you want to add to that?
Yes. I mean, God's not done until we're done.
Come on.
You know, I feel as though sometimes we look at the outcome of our lives and we think, well, that's it. I guess that's it. I guess the conclusion to this story is that God did not answer my prayer the way that I wanted it to be answered. We do not know what God is up to amidst our circumstances. And God is not done until we're done, until everything is done. And I'm reminded of Hannah's story. One of my favorite stories. I mean, she didn't know what God was doing in her barrenness, but as she was crying out to her God, she did not know what he was up to. She didn't realize that God was doing something higher. God was doing something greater. She was thinking about one infant, having one child, one pregnancy. God wanted to use her life to bless Israel. When you, I mean, for those of you that may not be too familiar with her story, she was barren. She cried out to the Lord. Even her own priest thought she was drunk. And in the end, God gave her this son, Samuel, and she gave her son back to God. It says in the beginning of 1 Samuel 3 that the word of the Lord was rare at that time. The word of the Lord was rare at that time in Israel. And yet, as this Samuel raised up to become a prophet for Israel, it says in the end of 1 Samuel 3 and the beginning of 1 Samuel 4, that the word of God started to show up at the temple and then throughout Israel. God was shifting this nation towards him. God was blessing this entire nation, and it was all birthed from Hannah's cry in the wilderness. The significance of our lives is not whether we start a podcast or make a career out of our dreams or become a millionaire or get that house or get that person to marry. The significance of our lives is whether we remain with the Lord. And Hannah, in her own wilderness season, she cried out to the Lord. She clung on to God, and her life is remembered today. The song that she sang after everything was said and done, I mean, it was later echoed in Mary's Magnificat later in the Gospels. It was something that genuinely touched redemptive history. And where was it from? It was just from a woman who cried out to the Lord in her own wilderness seasons. And you know what? You do not know what God's going to do with your story. You do not know what God can do with your own wilderness. You may feel as though you are not getting the results, the answers, the breakthrough that you are contending for, but God is already breaking through. God is already up to something. And we may not see it now, but one day you will, because God is not done.
Wow. Come on, somebody. I need another amen. And I just got to say, if you're wondering if God is good and he's divine, the fact that we book our guests a good month in advance, and Angie works hard behind the scenes, but we could never know what you're going through today to hear a word today from faith like this. But God knew, because he's so meticulous and so miraculous. None of this is hard for him. It's all easy for him to work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Isn't that amazing? I'm praying by the end of this hour, you feel so profoundly loved, cared for, called, and equipped. He is with you. And if by any chance you are staring at a small, tiny bullseye, like Hannah was at first, I want a child. Like Dr. Jack Hayford, his insights on Hannah's life are my favorite. He's like, she could not know that her desire was moving in concert with God, not only to bring her to the desire of her heart, but to bring, as Faith was saying, a prophet to the nations of Israel, because barrenness was not only her condition, but Israel's condition as well. And God was seeking a voice. And I feel like that is such a picture, because if you start to see yourself in the bigger story, you can know that most of your heartbreaks in some way, shape, or form reflect God's heartbreak for the world. And the enemy wants you thinking like an orphan so that you pray from a scarcity mindset. God wants you to think, even in the wilderness, even in the lack and the need, as an heir, to go, I'm not the only person feeling this way. I'm not the only person suffering this way. I'm stepping into the bigger story because my God is good and he's always writing a bigger story. So Lord, I refuse to look down in this wilderness. I'm looking up because you're doing something big and you're doing something great. I pray that if you are looking at a bullseye and you are blaming God because it's been 50 years since you've heard from him, back up and say, speak to me on your terms. I'm listening now, Lord. I bet you anything he'll speak. We're going to take a break. And Faith, when we come back, I want to look at your section in the book about our misplaced ambitions, because sometimes we don't hear from God because we're fueling incorrectly, as you say. And we may be blaming God for not speaking when, in fact, we're fueling up on some of the wrong stuff that's really impacting our ability to see and hear. So we're going to talk on that. Questions just to ask ourselves to just identify maybe misplaced ambitions and motivations in the wilderness season. Faith Yuri Cho is my guest today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing her to us. Experiencing Friendship with God is her book. Got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Lots of amens coming in. God is so good. And friends, given the crisis in the Middle East and how the nations are raging, the fact that we can gather here today, boldly proclaim Jesus without fear for our lives, never take that for granted. I never do. I've been thanking God for all the years I've been in radio because it's never lost on me. But especially now, friends, if you can gather, gather. If you can pray, pray. You know, don't take that for granted. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm Angela Smith, host of Reading the Bible Together. And have you ever read the book of Matthew? You know, at the very beginning when it has the whole genealogy of Jesus, and read or tried to read through those difficult names and thought, who are these people? What are their stories? You know, why are they listed here? In our next reading plan, we're going to be looking at five of the women in Jesus's genealogy. It's called Unexpected, Five Women in the Lineage of Jesus. We're going to take a look at Tamar. Who was she? You know, what is her story? We're going to look at Rahab and Ruth and Bathsheba and Mary, Jesus's mother. All the women who you're going to hear on the podcast have contributed to the study guide. You can get your hands on that study guide at myfaithradio.com and sign up. I sure hope that you'll do this study with us so that the next time you go and read Jesus's genealogy, you'll recognize some of those names and know some of those stories. You can get that study guide at myfaithradio.com, and you can listen to Reading the Bible Together podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. I really feel like today is a divine appointment. And if you just tuned in, once the live show is over, it goes to podcasts, and it goes to podcasts in about 170 countries, which is amazing. So as you listen, pray for those who are in other countries where gathering isn't so easy, and pray for them and be a radio missionary. Share with your friends. I've talking to Faith Yuri Cho today about the presence of God, the love of God. So good. Her book is amazing. Experiencing Friendship with God, How the Wilderness Draws Us to His Presence. And we just got one segment left here, Faith. It's been so good. But I like how you address our misplaced ambitions, because they're often the very things that are standing in the way of us actually experiencing more intimacy with God. So I'm going to read some of the questions you tell us to ask ourselves, and then I'll just give it to you and have you share whatever is on your heart. Some of these questions: why do I work so hard? Why does it matter what people think of me? Why is my identity so tied to others' opinions? Why do I go to church every week? Why do I pray more at church than I do at home? Why do I pray? Why do I spend money the way I do? Why do I feel like money can buy satisfaction? I'm sure there's an endless list of questions, but these are meant to get to the heart of what's fueling us. So speak to that, if you would, Faith.
Oh, yes. It's our intimacy with the Lord that's meant to fuel us in the best way possible. And when we fuel ourselves with the wrong things, that's when we find ourselves in burnout. That's when we start to tap out when it comes to our faith journey, because we find ourselves fueling ourselves with what seems good, but it's not meant to be our ultimate fuel. And the way we discover it is by unraveling our whys, I think our whys can be like an onion and we just got to keep unraveling it. So for example, for myself, when I was in my church planting journey, when I was burning out, when I was disillusioned, when I stopped wanting to go back into my conversations with the Lord, I had to ask myself, okay, why am I frustrated? Well, I'm frustrated because my plans are not working out. Okay, why am I making these plans? So that I could plant a church. Why does that matter? And then as I unravel mm-hmm. these whys, I realize, wow, I think my fuel right now is to be fruitful. And when it looks like a righteous fuel, when it looks almost biblically acceptable, traditionally acceptable, we can mistake it as proper fuel. We can mistake it as, well, that's a great reason to live. But like I said, even if it sounds good and it looks good, doesn't mean it's meant to be our ultimate fuel. These are all wonderful biblical desires. But our ultimate purpose, our number one priority is meant to know him, to befriend him. It's to engage in the actual gift of the gospel, which is to befriend the presence of God. And so when I was in my wilderness journey, I had to really explore and unravel my whys. And when I realized, oh, wait, I think what's driving me to do what I'm doing, it's not to know him and to love him, it's to be fruitful, to get this done, to get it done right. And when I decided to replace that fuel with my ultimate fuel, which is to know him, then the way I handle difficulties, the way I handle misfortune, the way I handle rejection, it started to change. And even on my worst days, I was able to see great significance in it.
Boy, that's so good. I love this. You said motivations that aren't centered on his presence can be uncovered by looking at our fears. And that's a Jamie Winship question. We have Jamie on often to talk identity. What are you afraid of? And you said, if our core purpose isn't a more intimate connection with God, then these are counterfeit fuels that we have to recognize and remove. So practicing some restraint for even some things that may look good on the outside, but you know they're pushing, you're being pushed because of a fear. Or a wrong misplaced motivation. Just got a couple minutes left, but you found this really amazing insight in the Old Testament regarding the Israelites' journey to the Promised Land, that they were blessed even before they arrived. And I'm going to just read this quickly, and then you'll have a couple minutes to reply. This is good news. We too are blessed now, before the breakthrough happens and the upgrades arrive. We can experience the pleasures of his presence today, before any of the problems get fixed or the worrying situations go away. Your blessing isn't lost in the past, nor are you working for it to arrive in the future. You no longer must wait and hope to be blessed. You have the blessing, thanks to Jesus. Say more.
Yes. I mean, from the beginning of their wilderness trek, before they even stepped foot on the Promised Land, the blessing that Aaron and his sons, which were the priests, the blessing that they were called by God to give to the Israelites was this. It was in Numbers 6 from 24 to 26, is may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. And it's funny because none of this mentions the Promised Land itself. And this was a blessing that the priests were supposed to give to the Israelites throughout their wilderness journey. It was the blessing of God's face shining upon them, God himself being the blessing, God himself being the favor, God himself being the peace. And that was the blessing of the wilderness, and they did not need to reach the Promised Land to have it. From the very beginning, they were blessed.
You know, Faith, this has been so rich. And I'm thinking of, you know, the Israelites, the first generation, their captivity was so baked in that they could not receive it. And I'm wondering, we just got about a minute and a half left for you, but what can you say to the person who feels the same way, that they've been wandering and, you know, they're so identified with their captivity, it's very hard for them to live loved, to really receive and believe that they're already blessed as they walk out this journey to the Promised Land?
Yes, I'm reminded of Romans 8, where it says, instead, you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, and the Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. The Holy Spirit that lives in you is testifying, is crying out and reminding your spirit, that ache, that nudge that says, hey, I may have been rejected, but I'm no orphan. I may have failed, but I'm not a failure. I'm a child of God. You are a child before you are a leader. You are a child before you are a parent. You are God's child before you are an employee of corporate America. Whatever your position is in life, you are a child of God, and the Holy Spirit in you is testifying to that. And all you have to do is agree with the Holy Spirit. That's just really what it is. Before you get your act together or buy another gratitude journal or whatever it is that you feel like you got to clean up, let me tell you, the first thing you just have to do is just agree with the Holy Spirit in you that tells you time and time again that is testifying now, you are not a wanderer. You are a friend of God.
Come on. As we wrap here, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I think, Faith, you got to really consider writing an Advent book. I think that might be one of your next projects. Just saying. Susie talking, maybe the Lord talking too, but we sure have loved having you on, and we'd love to have you back again. What a rich conversation, hon. Thank you for the time and for the way you've stewarded God's word. God bless you, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Look forward to our next conversation. Faith Urie Cho is my guest today. Her amazing book, just based on your text, I know this very much resonated. All the texts that have come in, such an honor to serve you, and I'm so grateful for this divine appointment today. Faith's book is titled Experiencing Friendship with God. We'll leave that drawing open for a little bit yet. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. And if you've been blessed, once the show goes to podcast, which will be about an hour from now, be a radio missionary. Share it with your friends. Someone else needs a fresh word of encouragement today. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.